Hello and a warm welcome to another edition of The Debate, coming your way from Press TV headquarters in Tehran. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. American journalism company Politico has reported about Israel placing cell phone surveillance equipment near the White House and other sensitive locations in Washington, D.C. Stingrays fool cell phones into revealing their location and identifying information by mimicking a cell tower. An FBI detailed forensic analysis says that the devices were planned by Israel. Now, Tel Aviv has called it a total lie. Surprisingly, no reaction out of the White House, no rebuke or blaming Israel either. Let's discuss that story with our panelists to get some insight. But before that, let's get an update from our correspondent, Ronnie Carvello, who joins us from Miami. Ronnie, the latest Israeli spying was off the radar of mainstream media in the United States. So what could be the reason for that?
Well, I have to tell you first that this is not like news, because that happens back in May of 2018, the first time that some agencies had informed the White House that they suspect that Israel was behind some of those teeny surveillances around the White House, and not only near the White House, in many other places in Washington, D.C. So this is not new. What is new, though, and not surprisingly at the same time, is the fact that Donald Trump hasn't done anything. It's a complete silence about it. According to the political news feed, it said that since Israel is behind this, they are using actually the same methodology that the United States has used in the past towards not only what they call enemies, but also allies. Remember back when the president was Obama, was a scandal on that, not only European countries, but also South American countries, even recording the telephone conversations for a Brazilian president. So in the case of Israel, I would say that that's not new. What I say is that we should expect, we should at least here in the United States, people should at least deserve and demand some answers from the White House, especially for Donald Trump, despite the fact that many experts say that they believe that the White House will continue to be totally and complete silence and perhaps deny.
All right, thank you for that. Ronnie Carvello, our correspondent now in Miami. Now, to discuss the topic, I'm joined from the Answer Coalition by Richard Becker out of San Francisco, and writer and political analyst Charles Orter is joining us out of New York. Good to have both of you, gentlemen. Now, beginning with Richard, mainstream U.S. media and news channels did not show any appetite to cover this story. Why is there the blackout, and shouldn't American people learn about Israel and what it's doing on their soil?
Well, I think, first of all, it's important to point out that there's a long history of Israeli spying on the United States. The most famous Israeli spy in the United States was Jonathan Pollard, who was an analyst with the U.S. Navy. And he went to prison in the 1980s for almost 30 years, who collected and turned over to the Israeli intelligence huge amounts of material. I mean, far, far in excess of what we're talking about here, and far, far in excess in terms of importance. And I have no doubt that the United States is spying in Israel, too. But there is the right now, the pro, and has been for a long time, the pro-Israeli bias in the mainstream media in the United States is very strong, and we know that. And again, I would just say that we should recall the saying that there, in among the great powers, for the great powers, there are no permanent friends. The whole idea of friendship in international relations is a false concept among most of the countries, particularly the big empires. So it's not out of friendship that they're kept out of the media, but because there is this alliance between the U.S. and Israel and the big corporate media, in times of crisis, in times of very important times, will play the role, really, of a media mouthpiece for the government. So if the government, the Trump administration, the State Department is not going to speak about this, they're loath to speak about it, too. And we have this report from Politico and not a great deal else in terms of the current spying that's reported by the State of Israel on the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's go to New York, to Charles. Charles, how much do American people know about these people? You know, we had Richard Becker mentioning one of them. We have people like Jonathan J. Pollard, Richard mentioned, the former intelligence analyst for the U.S. government. In 1987, he pleaded guilty to spying for Israel and providing top secret classified information to Tel Aviv, or about Benami Kadesh, for instance, a former U.S. Army mechanical engineer. In December 2008, he also pleaded guilty to spying for Israel. He admitted to disclosing classified U.S. documents to Israel in the 1980s. Or also about Stuart Nozad, a NASA official who received $225,000 for passing secrets to Israel. Or also about Arnon Melchin, an Israeli billionaire and also movie producer who smuggled nuclear weapons technology from the U.S. to Israel. Do American people know about these people and Israel's extensive and aggressive spying in the United States?
I think most Americans certainly know about the case of Jonathan Pollard, because that keeps coming up where the Israelis are requesting, the Israeli government was repeatedly requesting his premature release from prison. The other names even I am not familiar with, but regrettably, I think what we have in this system of unregulated globalism, which has taken hold ever since 1988, is a situation where government secrets and governments have the ability to make people extremely rich and alternatively to put them into prison. So it is not uncommon, not simply for Israelis to spy on allies in the United States, but for Americans connected and disconnected officially from the government to spy on friendly countries. A system has emerged where there seems to be no arbiter of what is fair and what is not fair, what is legal and what is not legal. Governments, friends and foes, get around these issues by having cutouts, by having third parties engage in this type of behavior so they can say, well, wait, we didn't officially ask so-and-so to do this or to do that. And if we were in America to get upset about any ally that may have been doing us wrongly or doing us poorly in the recent past, I think a lot of attention is about to shortly come on the United Kingdom, which evidently in the Steele matter and beyond the Steele matter may have been very actively interfering in the U.S. Electoral process. And certainly among our various foes, our friends, our oldest and strongest ally is not France, but is the U.K. So I think it's going to come as quite a shock to Americans, less so this Israeli thing, and much more the coming revelations about what the UK government may have been doing entwined with the Obama administration to rig the primaries and rig the general election and seed the resistance that has been brewing in this country ever since Donald Trump was elected president.
Mm-hmm. Now, Richard, the Trump administration, the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, also the Secret Service, they have all declined to comment on this Israeli spying thing just revealed recently. Now, what does this mean?
Well, I think clearly they've been instructed not to say anything. And given Trump's predilection for firing almost all of his top officials, particularly in the intelligence and national security, they know that, you know, if they defy that. I think it's interesting to consider of why Israel would be spying on the U.S., particularly why they would be interested in what is being said in the White House. And I think the answer for that is that there's another old saying that diplomacy is perjury. In other words, so much of what goes passes for diplomacy is diplomacy in the world that we live in. Lies and deception, and what the other side wants to know is what are they really saying? And I think they want to know this about Trump. They know that Trump, this pretension that Trump is a great friend of Israel or Trump is a great friend of Jewish people. I mean, Trump himself has exposed how ridiculous that is. But they know that despite all the outward signs of support and friendship and aid and so forth, they want to know, and each side wants to know, what's the other side really saying? What are the top officials really saying? Because that is important to know when you know that diplomacy is perjury.
Mm-hmm. Now, Charles, another question almost in the same lines. The Political Report says that this is in contrast to other instances of foreign spying. Washington has declined to punish or rebuke Jerusalem on this matter. And why is this spying by Tel Aviv in the U.S. Being hushed up?
Well, you know, I would draw an important distinction here between what is alleged in the Politico magazine, and that is the use of these stingray devices to trap conversations, which by definition would be occurring outside the hardened communications centers, the so-called SCIFs that are scattered around Washington, D.C. and elsewhere around the world, where one hopes the most sensitive discussions take place. Shame on people who may have been using cell phones and talking about highly sensitive, indeed even classified or above top secret matters over a cell phone, because that's, you know, you're going to get picked up. If it's not by the Israelis, it could be by somebody else, friend
President
or foe.
President Trump is set to
the
be
real
doing
issue
that,
here,
usually.
And the focus should be on what goes on inside these SCIFs, and how come under the Obama administration, for 8 years, they were quite prepared to let, for four of them, Hillary Clinton conduct all of her sensitive international business outside of SCIFs on unsecure servers and unvetted electronic devices, and sit with that information not in the public, not under the control of the government after she left the White House. That to me is a much bigger issue. It comes at a time where Trump is also being accused of mishandling classified information inaccurately by the CNN story mm-hmm. that occurred at the same time. So I think this is, you know, this is a complex mess, and I'd like to see solutions. I'd like to see our top discussions, as I say, happen in the SCIFs, and I'd like to see our top people be more careful than they currently have been.
Mm-hmm. Now, Richard, in reaction to this news, a statement from the Israeli Prime Minister's office says, and I'm quoting it directly, there is a long-standing commitment and a directive from the Israeli government not to engage in any intelligence operations in the United States. How seriously should we take this?
Well, not to be overly repetitive, but diplomacy is perjury. And you couldn't have a better example of it than that statement. Of course, there's a long history of Israel spying and intelligence being turned over. And also, I have to say that there's this spying not only on the U.S. government, but there are clandestine intelligence operations being carried out against anyone in the United States who is critical of the state of Israel. And there are multiple organizations with huge budgets, the ADL, the Canary Mission, the Israel Project, and the ADL, and many others who carry out these actions and are given a free hand to do that inside of the United States, even though they're vilifying and demonizing and libeling U.S. citizens and other people who live in the United States. But at the same time, we have to remember that the election in Israel is 5 days away. Today is mm-hmm. September 12th. The election will be on September 17th. I think one of the main reasons why this is not a story in the U.S. media right now, and why the White House and FBI and the other agencies are being told to keep their mouths shut, don't comment about this, is because it could cause problems. It's that the election is very close in Israel, according to all the reports. The Trump administration and Trump wants Netanyahu's to come back as the prime minister again, and the Likud party to be the dominant party in the new government. So because the election is also extremely close, the divulgence of this kind of information, the circulation of this kind of information, can be seen as deleterious to the present government, to the Netanyahu government, and possibly harm mm-hmm. its chances of re-election.
Uh-huh. Now, Charles, we have some documents that published by whistleblower Edward Snowden, and they indicate that a 2013 national intelligence estimate on cyber threats ranks Israel the third most aggressive intelligence service against the United States after China and Russia. Your take on that?
Again, it would not surprise me. When we speak of cyber intelligence, and what we were talking about is hacking and trying to discern secrets. And in this world, in this information age, those secrets are enormously valuable. So whether they're official Israeli government actions or actions either given a blind eye or encouraged by the Israeli government by third parties, it is no surprise that in the search for gigantic profits that are out there, witness the billionaires created Google and elsewhere, Facebook, Amazon, I could go on and on. It is
Charles,
no surprise
Russia and China
that around the world, multiple.
You know, Israel is an ally,
Russia,
and
Russia
a close
and
ally. Russia and China are not U.S. allies. They're considered rivals, huh?
But what I would say is that all of these countries, ourselves included, are all chasing to get to the top of the technology ladder and to get those secrets that are out there. And it would not surprise me to see this kind of activity escalate, friend against friend, friend against foe. It's just not surprising.
Okay, let's also have Richard's comment on that.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that's very important is that why Israel would be so interested in and to be carrying out such wide-ranging intelligence, cyber intelligence, other intelligence gathering in the United States is explained by what the relationship, the real relationship is between the United States and Israel. Israel is very isolated in the world. Its protector is the United States. This is in diplomatic and political circles and other circles. They have very strong economic ties. you know, when resolutions that are even mildly critical of the state of Israel come to the UN Security Council, as happened a little over a week ago in regard to the conflict on the Israel-Lebanon border, the U.S. blocks it because there's just a little criticism of the state of Israel. So the Israelis need to know, they want to know, what are they really thinking? What are they really, and I referenced this earlier, but what are the top officials really saying about us? Because we know that the pretensions of friendship and all the hugging and handshaking, that doesn't really matter. That's not really the important thing. They need to know, and Israel needs to know, because the relationship with the United States is so vital to its future, what the leaders are really saying.
Mm-hmm. Now, Charles, in reaction to this news on the Israeli espionage, a former senior U.S. intelligence official says that this raises security concerns. And then he goes on and says jokingly that I'm quoting, on the other hand, guess what we do in Tel Aviv? What does the U.S. intelligence apparatus do in Tel Aviv?
I have no earthly idea, but I would point to the preceding administration's experience the last 8 years under Obama, when I think not enough people in the United States, my esteemed colleague in San Francisco, and I probably agree on this, I hope, that it is dead wrong for the United States government to be spying internally at the highest levels, as apparently happened under the Obama administration and may have happened under George W. Bush and preceding administrations. It is dead wrong for the administration to harness the dread technological tools that are available to get on the inside of the minds of journalists and influence shapers and Supreme Court justices and foreign leaders, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The way it seems to have happened, according to Cheryl Atkinson and other reliable investigative journalists, during the Obama years. So I think this is a conversation we should have, where we should be able to find common ground inside the country and around the world as to what is cricket and what isn't.
Mm-hmm. So, Richard, what do you believe this gentleman, this former senior U.S. intelligence official, means by saying, guess what we do in Tel Aviv? What do you guess?
Well, he's saying that, I mean, for a political reason, obviously, and that is to diminish the impact of the report of the extensive spying by Israel inside the United States. I mean, what he's saying is true, that the governments all spy on each other, you know, that, or at least the so-called great powers and the more powerful countries in the world do that. They spy on each other. There's no question about that. Their relationships, again, are not relationships of friends, but relationships based on interest. And so we see it's very, very extensive what's going on. And inside the United States, I think we really have to point to the fact again that organizations like AIPAC and ADL and Canary Mission and so forth, these are really extensions of the state of Israel, of the government of Israel. They're extensions of Israeli power. And Israel, for the reasons I mentioned earlier, because of the importance of the U.S.-Israeli relationship, is very worried about the growing opposition to what Israel is doing, to Israel's treatment of the Palestinians, to the extreme right-wing turn in Israel and the rise of fascist forces there. These organizations operating with impunity inside the United States are trying to destroy internal opposition, the growing internal opposition, including, I have to say, in the Jewish community and particularly among younger Jewish people in the United States. So we have really intelligence operations that are going on against the government in order to get the secrets, in order to find out the truth of what's being said and what's being thought in the highest circles of the U.S. government. But we have also a massive and I think much more significant operation going on against those in the United States who are critical of the state of Israel, and particularly those who express solidarity with the Palestinian people who have suffered so much at the hands of the state of Israel.
Okay, that's all the time we have for this program. Let me thank our guests from the Answer Coalition. We had Richard Becker from San Francisco and writer and political analyst Charles Orter, who joined us from New York. And thank you for watching this program. We'll see you next time.